Good morning and welcome to Grenergy's Q1 2023 results presentation. I am Alberto Sánchez, Head of Investor Relations, and I am joined today by David Ruiz, our CEO, Daniel Lozano, our Chief of Strategy and Capital Markets Officer, and Rocío Fernández, our Head of Sustainability. They are going to take you through our business, financial, and ESG review. At the end of the presentation, there will be a Q&A session for sell-side analysts. I hand over to our CEO, David Ruiz.
Thank you. Thank you, Alberto, and thanks everyone for attending. As you will see during the presentation, we have modified the way we are presenting some information, and we are including some interesting operational KPIs for the first time. We keep disclosing the project-by-project info in the appendices. Basically no changes there, right? We are trying to make the presentation simpler and a bit more straightforward to allow more time for Q&A. Moving to slide three, some of the key messages. We are very happy to announce we've had a very solid operational execution with a further expansion in assets in operation and under construction and total platform. As we will see in the next slide, I think we're quickly becoming one of the largest developer in the three regions where we operate, with a total platform 14 GW and already close to 10 GWh of storage projects, which will become very relevant for us. Moving to the PPAs, we have already signed 1.4 GW. Only in the first quarter, we have inked 728 MW. According to Pexapark, we are number two in Europe and after Iberdrola, number one in PV. More importantly, we have 1.5 GW under negotiation, mainly in Chile, but also in Spain and some of the new markets for us, like the U.S. We will soon give visibility to more than 3 GW of projects. Going to the total volume of contracted revenues, we have now contracted more than 2 billion. I think this is giving us high visibility on future earnings. This is just to give you some information, this is more than 50% coming from Spain or around 35% coming from Chile. Going to our build-to-sell activity, well, we transfer, as we already announced, 21, nearly 22 MW in Chile. This is business as usual for us, transfer of PMGD projects. Going to Valkyria, we can elaborate more during the Q&A, we are on track. We are planning to give some news at the end of July or during at the end of June even, or during July. Everything is on track and according to the calendar. It's very important the going to the IRRs. The IRRs are stable at double digits, benefiting from high energy prices and still declining CapEx for solar. I think we are witnessing now the all-time record low prices for solar, and in the case of panels, they're for the first time, I think, going below the threshold of $0.20 of U.S. per watt. I think this is very important that we are keeping consistently a double-digit IRR for our projects, both in Spain and in Latin America. Moving to financial performance, I think Daniel will give you more info. Revenues of 96 million euros. This is more than 100% higher year-on-year. EBITDA of 14.3 million, driven by energy and asset rotation in Chile, as we explained. This will grow exponentially next quarters. Net income of 5 million. It would have been higher if not, but finally due to the Forex differences, due to the rally of the euro against the U.S. dollar in March, otherwise the result would have been 3-4 million higher than this. Net debt 445 million. We will elaborate more on these, on a higher capex of 78 million just in the quarter. This is, I think, quite relevant, and working capital needs of 51 million. We closed the period with a strong cash position of 100 million, plus more than 100 million of undrawn lines. And we are expecting a strong inflow of cash in the next quarters, both from our increasing number of operational plants and our build-to-sell division, both with Valkyria and other deals. So I think we are very confident that these funds will be sufficient to undertake our investment plans for 2023, 2024. And this is why we state here that we are we feel confident we are fully funded for 2023, 2024, as we have many times stated in the past. Talking about our ESG, in terms of our highlights in ESG, our ESG roadmap 2023 will be successfully completed at the end of this year. And also next one, the next roadmap, we are already working on it, will be initiated in early 2024, and it will contain a new set of challenging commitments to be implemented along the next 3 years. One of the most remarkable accomplishments of this first quarter was the elaboration and the first time external verification by KPMG of the sustainability report 2022, which has been successfully audited. And in terms of the ESG recognition by the well-known rating agencies, I'm very happy to announce that we keep being considered a top rank in company in ESG performance. And this year we are willing to revalidate and even maintain this leadership position between our peers. I think Rocío, our new head of ESG, will provide more information later in the presentation. Moving to the next slide, I think the key messages here, the total platform has now reached 14 gigawatts, including again 1.8 gigawatts in operation or under construction, right? I think it's a very important change from last quarter, basically coming from, as we will see in next slide, from an important increase in the US market, which is quickly becoming our core market for us. We have, as you know, three platforms. I think the picture is very well balanced now, both in solar and storage. In solar, we are close to 4 gigawatts on each platform. And this is very remarkable for us. We already have close to 10 gigawatt hour in storage. And I think we will give plenty more visibility on this business in the future presentations, right? There is a sharp increase in early stage projects to 6 gigawatts. This is anticipating a very busy 2026 and 2027, many projects which are now in advanced development will make it very soon to backlog. Moving to the next slide, again, solar portfolio reached 12.5 gigawatts, led by the USA, 1.4 gigawatt more. Already our largest platform, Chile and Spain are our most mature platforms with 2.7 gigawatts and 1.8 gigawatts respectively. Very good progress in Italy, already stands at 1.2 gigawatts. I think before the end of this year, we might give good news in Italy, meaning that we will start our first construction works in the country, in the Italian platform. And also very good progress in Poland, already above 1 gigawatt. And I think I would like to outline that we are back in Mexico, and there's new pipeline being added in Mexico. We are back in this market, and hopefully, I think 2 or 3 years from now, it will be an important market for us once again. Moving to the next slide about storage. Storage remains very key at Greenergy. We expect this area to be very transformational for our industry. We are active both in the standalone and segment and collocation in most markets. No big pipeline changes. We've added capacity in the US. We are reiterating our 2025 targets of 1 GWh, which I think now might start to seem quite conservative. And Chile is going to be, and I think this is great news for us, the great testing laboratory worldwide in collocation of PV and BESS. And we are leaders in this market, and we are very lucky once again to be there. And I think we've got great plans for storage in this market. A few words on PPAs. You know, PPAs are critical at this point in the market to obtain financing and therefore delivery of projects. Again, we are very proud. We announced 728 megawatts in Q1. We are becoming one of the more active sellers of green energy in Europe. I think only behind Iberdrola in the first quarter. And we've already signed and secured 1.4 gigawatts of PPAs globally, and 1.1 in Spain, 0.3 in Chile. But we have very advanced negotiations of 1.5 gigawatts, mostly in Chile. And we will give, I think, some good news very, very soon. At the group level, we now have slightly higher than 75% contracted output at group level. And again, more than 2 billion of contracted revenues. So this is giving us a lot of visibility for the next few years. I think we are very confident. And as long as the sun keeps shining and our off-takers continue, all investment grade off-takers continue or honoring their commitments, we have a lot of visibility on our revenues. I think I give the floor from this point to Daniel. So thank you very much.
Thank you, David. So let's move on to the financial review that starts in slide number 8. As you can see, we have modified the way we are presenting our financial update. It's the first time we are including operating data. As you can see, total output increased by 44% due to the new capacity and better load factors. We have 72% of volume contracted. That represented an increase of 75% compared with previous year. Realized price increased by 6%, showing very limited impact from lower merchant prices. Then on the right side, you have a summary of the main KPIs that we are going to explain later. Just to remark the impressive increase of 12% of our tangible asset in just one quarter to 653 million euros. At the same time, we have been able to increase our total equity by 11% to 272 million euros. If you can look at slide number 9, we can see that in Q1 2023, total revenue reached 96 million euros. That is 105% increase year on year, more than twice the previous year figure. And EBITDA increases to 14.3 million euros. That is 94% year on year. The development and division was driven by the disposal of two PEMGDs, you know, distribution asset in Chile, that was 11 million euros with high margins. The energy division was driven by higher output, plus 44% on new capacity, mainly in Chile and Colombia, and better load factors, as explained before. It is the first time we are separating our retail supply business in Chile as it is growing, and the dynamics are different from the energy business. EBITDA for this area is expected to be neutral in 2023 and positive from 2024, as from next year we're going to have more solar PV projects producing, and that will contribute to increased margins. Moving on to slide 10, we can see that in Q1 2023, total CapEx reached 77.6 million euros. Project CapEx was 64 million euros, split 45% in Spain, Belinchón, and 55% in Chile, PMGDs and Gran Teno, that is connected by the year-end. Development CapEx accelerated, driven especially in the U.S. after taking over 100% control of Sofos Harbert Solar developer. CapEx per megawatt is back to the level of 2020 and well below the 2021, 2022 levels that were affected by the sharp inflation in key cost item. The decline in unit CapEx is driven by lower logistic and, most importantly, module cost due to the increase in global industrial capacity and polysilicon production. Now CapEx is below 0.5 million euros. Due to CapEx deflation and PPA levels we are closing, IRRs remain stable and attractive at double-digit levels. That is offsetting the impact from higher interest rate. Let's go to a slide which is number 11, which is explaining the cash flow of the period. Working capital deterioration is temporary and due to seasonality and reclassification of some supplier debt into financial debt. Supplier debt related to equipment ordered in advance prevents supply chain and logistic issue. This is a temporary issue that should gradually unwind in the following quarters. We are closing the period with a cash position of almost 100 million euros. If you can look at slide 12. Our net debt and leverage has increased by 445 million euros and 7.9x leverage ratio. It was due to the increase in CapEx and temporary working capital outflow. 2023 and 2024 will be capital intensive as we have large projects under construction, mainly in Spain and Chile. We are aware that our leverage is high, and we do not intend to go beyond these levels. We expect to substantially deleverage by the year-end. Also, bear in mind that our leverage ratio is also affected by timing of our investments and when those investments become productive. Belinchón project almost fully funded and not yet contributed to EBITDA. Leverage will have been 6.7x, assuming an EBITDA run rate for that project. If we additionally exclude the temporary working capital outflow, leverage would have been 6x. We are fully funded for 2023, 2024, taking into consideration the contribution from our asset in operation. It now includes Belinchón, the working capital reversal from Q1 levels, and the equity recycling from upcoming project finance deals and our build-to-sell strategy. Now, we're moving on to ESG. I'll hand you over to Rocío. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. I would like to start by highlighting that ESG matters are the core of Grenergy, so its fulfillment impacts in every one of you. Today, I will invite you all to carefully follow the ESG advances of the quarter and to feel involved in their progress. I am pleased to announce that the three objective committed for the first quarter of the year was successfully accomplished. Firstly, sustainability report was audited for the first time without any deviation. Secondly, an IT tool for ESG performance reporting and management was acquired to better improve the capture of ESG information, hence ensuring transparency, reliability, and data traceability. Last but not least, a compliance training and communication plan was implemented by launching periodic activities to ensure raise awareness. Apart from that, currently, all expected goals for the second quarter are well advanced, and a step forward is taken with relevant progress in some actions for the third and fourth quarter. For instance, the designing of the new ESG roadmap for the next 3 years. This will be a crucial milestone to be accomplished in 2023, and it will be not only the engine, but also the GPS of our sustainability actions. Moving to the next slide, in terms of our performance and strategy regarding ESG ratings, I would like to emphasize the fact that Grenergy pursues to maintain its leadership position in a growing number of prestigious ESG rating agencies, such as CDP, Refinitiv, Sustainalytics, MSCI, Dow Jones Sustainability Index, and ESS. As you can see in the figures, all the scores are higher than the previous year and higher than our peers. Despite these promising scores, we are making a huge effort to improve some detected gaps and improvement areas to be able to keep the top rank position also in 2023. And that's all from my side. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Rocío. We are now moving to the Q&A session. If you have any question, please send a message to the administrator, using the chat available in the tool. Just let him know that you want to ask a question. You don't have to write it down. Please limit to one question per analyst. Our first question comes from RBC. Fernando García, please go ahead.
Is Miguel, can you unmute Fernando?
Okay, I see now, no? Right?
Yes.
Okay. So good morning, Alberto. Thank you, Daniel, for the presentation as well. So my question, David, is about your comment of being fully funded for 2023-2024. There, probably what I would like to know how much of that is explained by Alkiria divestment, how much about changes in project financing conditions, no? So there, I would appreciate if you can provide details about interest costs, leverage, etc. And I am particularly interested about changes that you are experimenting in the last, let's say, 3-6 months. That is my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Fernando, and good morning. Well, when we say we are fully funded, this is nothing new. I mean, you know, we raised capital 2 times, last one I think roughly a year ago, and the previous year altogether close to 200 million euros. And we always said we were fully funded. I mean, we had fully funded our capital needs for 2024. It's really a combination of we have several sources right now. The more plants, obviously, we have operational, the more inflow of cash coming from those plants. I think in the long term, this will be our main source of finance. But we've been very active in build and sell. We will keep doing build and sell, as we have shown in the first quarter, and we have some also potential deals during the year. And obviously we have Valkyria, which is a different type of deal because we are intending to sell 49% of, and it will be also very important to fund our needs for 2024 and even farther. This is what I mean. So, and we are pretty confident and very optimistic about all these process. So this is what we say when we mean that we are fully funded. What your question about a project finance? We still see. I mean, we see the market very very liquid in at this point. We, we are about the interest rates. We just secure the, we just hedge the funds we need for our large project finance we are closing in Chile for Gran Tenantamango. And this is in US dollars. We are talking about an all-in of 6.6, 6.20 maximum right now. And this is coming from a base of 4.4, 4.5, plus a spread of 160, 170 basis points. This is in US denominated deals. When we are talking about Spain, well, we now might be talking about 3.4, 3.5 as a base rate. And the spreads are narrowing from the banks. We are now working with 170 and 180. So all together, we are still below 5%. So I think even I could say 4.5% all included. So I think it's a very liquid market. I think having the PPAs as we have, it's becoming more and more important to access cheap and effective financing. So that's more or less the situation.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Fernando. Our next question comes from Barclays. Nashkui, please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, very clearly.
Perfect. Thanks for taking my question. Just one around cash flow, perhaps. So just wonder, I understand you want to spend a bit more in advance to help you progress your project development. Just wonder if you have any idea whether you can provide a bit of guidance on your full year CapEx. And also, do you mind providing a little bit more color on your working capital outflow this year, this quarter? It's about 44 million, quite a lot. Are we expecting that to be reversed in the next quarter or probably for the next few quarters? So a bit of color on the cash flow will be great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Cheers, thanks for your question. I think, well, maybe Daniel can give you more color on the working capital. For us, it's something expected. I mean, we are, I think it's a temporary effect on Q1. We are now expecting a reverse in Q2 since we are drawing some money from with non-recourse from project finance in Latin America. And we will reduce the balance of short-term corporate debts. But I think Daniel can give you more light. In terms of CapEx, it's no secret that we will keep increasing that. We need to make, we are doing our deliveries. It's quite impressive for us to deliver already more than 75 million this quarter. And we will be increasing, right? I think minimum during this year, 350 million euros is the minimum CapEx that we will deliver this year, but I think it might be slightly higher than this figure. We will try to be flexible. I think one of the great things we have being an integrated players is that we can move very quickly. We can use some funds and our credit lines to accelerate the execution of some projects, and we don't need to wait all the time for the drawdowns coming from the project finance, that sometimes it's a bit more expensive and sometimes it takes longer, right? So we have this flexibility, and this is what we have been doing in every project. But maybe Daniel can give you a few more words on working capital.
Well, just to mention that that working capital facility that is going to the financial debt is moving out of the net debt in next quarters to supplier debt, so will not affect leverage ratio.
Okay, understand. Thank you, David. Thank you, Daniel.
Okay, cheers. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Nash. Our next question comes from Henry Tarr at Berenberg. Please, Henry, go ahead.
Hi there, guys, and thanks very much for the presentation. Just a couple of questions. I'll limit myself on the around the discussions for Valkyria and the other build-to-sell developments. Have you seen the sort of prices impacted by higher rates, or are you still sort of seeing quite attractive prices coming coming through for those assets? And then secondly, you've split out the retail supply business. I understand it's a relatively small part of the business today, but could you just give me a little bit more around the details for that business and the potential for it as we look out into 24, 25? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Your first question, whether we see that prices have been impacted by interest rates. Well, it's not easy to compare apples with apples, right? Every megawatt, it's different. If you're selling something that it was financed 3 years ago with a very low interest rate, and this is fixed, well, you might have a huge gap between a lower project IRR and a higher and much higher equity IRR. Now we are having, I would say, much higher project IRR since we, you know, that we secured the PPAs in the mid-40s compared to even low 30s or mid-30s like 2 or 3 years ago, and also CapEx has been going down in the last since the peak in 2021. What really matters if you are rotating one asset is the gross margin you make per megawatt, right? So now, even with a lower price per megawatt, you can make a higher margin because it's you have a lower capex. So that's more or less how we see the situation. Still now, I think the higher the share that you have contracted with an investment grade, and even if this is a pay as produced, this is what we normally have, I think you have a more robust asset, and I think these type of assets has much higher demand than a full merchant asset. So that's another tendency that we are now seeing in the market. Yeah. About our retail supply business, it's well, as you say, it's not something very material for us at this point. We have been looking at possibilities of and opportunities in the retail segment. I think 2-3 years ago, we looked at opportunities in Spain, whether it could make sense to integrate the retail business. But finally, since, you know, for us, it's obviously much easier to sell all your energy to Amazon if the price is good enough. It's a lot simpler than creating a retail business with a basket of different off-takers. But in Chile, we followed that strategy in the, to kind of hedge the merchant plant we have there in Atacama, Quillagua. And this is how this retail division was kind of born. And this is what it is now, but from now, I think it makes sense, and this is a fantastic opportunity to develop a retail division in Chile. I'm talking about just targeting large clients. I think there are the 3,000 potential free clients in Chile, and this is the type of projects, of clients that we will close. And I think if you look at Gran Teno, and I think it will be the first project that will get online in Q3, Q4 in Chile, around 60% of the energy will be sold to an investment grade utility. And this is something we have already announced, but the remaining 40% will be purchased by a retail division, and we will resell that energy to several large clients, and I think we can make a bigger margin there. And obviously, we know the market very well in Chile, and it's something that we want to make sure we have no nodal risk or we have no profile risk on this type of resale activity, right? Because that's really been a very important point in Chile. So we know a lot about this market, and when we resell that energy, we will try to make sure we leave no open positions or open risks. I think anyway, we will give a more visibility in next presentations about this retail activity, which right now it's really, I think, it's not very material. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Henry. Our next question comes from Flora Trinidade from CaixaBank BPI. Flora, please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. I would like to ask on the PPAs you've closed during the first quarter. So can you confirm that these PPAs and the ones you are negotiating are around the mid-40s? And also, what is the level of merchant position that you would be comfortable considering the view you have on wholesale prices going forward? Thank you.
Hi, Flora. Thank you very much. Sorry, I lost the signal for 5 seconds. What was your second question? I don't think your first question is about the PPAs, and about the second one. Oh, maybe you're mute. Please. Well, anyway,
I was mute. I'm not anymore. Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
No, I was wondering, you mentioned in the presentation 23% merchant from 2026. Just wondering if you aim to reduce this percentage, considering the view you have, and especially because over half of your revenues would come from Spain. So it's a market where there are a lot of doubts with all this new capacity coming on stream. So yeah, if you can share your view on the exposure to merchant, especially in Spain, I think it would be interesting. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Flora. Very clear. As you know, we are leaving these slides in the appendices, right? That's something which is very relevant because we disclose the off-taking strategy project by project. And we keep, if you look at Spain, and you have now Taberna Sayora and José Cabrera are under construction, right? This all the energy has been sold to Amazon, and we have closed a 75% 15 years PPA with them. There are opportunities for hedging the extra 25%, but we believe that at this point it's really not the best. I think leaving a 25% exposure, it's still a good strategy. Just keep in mind that we are living this for 15 years. There might be some concerns about merchant in Spain in the next 2-3 years, but I think that there are very important things going on, and we might see a very different picture 4-5 years from now. And you're talking about contracting 50 years, so your strategy is a long-term strategy, right? So we believe is fine. And yes, we have closed this. We don't disclose the price, but they're in the mid 40s, right? And the same for Lyon del Basel a PPA, which we announced. I think considering that some of the projects that will come online now, like Gran Teno and Tamango, are going to be contracted nearly 100%. Plus the PMGDs that are naturally regulated assets, right? So I think we can even move to a higher percentage of our total energy contracted, maybe between 80 and 85% and 50% merchant. I'm talking about the whole picture.
Okay, thank you very much, Flora. Our next question comes from Jorge Guimaraes from JB Capital. Jorge, please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. Actually, I was about to ask about CapEx evolution, but since no one asked until now, I'll take the opportunity to ask about Valkyria. What is the current stage of the process? When can we expect news? And taking back one of the questions that already been made, if the interest rate rise has somewhat reduced your price expectation, you mentioned a 0.9 to 1.1 million per megawatt range. if you still see that range or closer to the low end. I mean, how do you see the price of the deal and effectively an update on the deal? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jorge. Hey, buenos dias. Well, it's great that you asked. Also, you mentioned the capex because it's on the supply chain. It's no longer a hot topic, so we don't get many questions. But it's fine now. I think it's logistics are back to pre-COVID level, and I think our I think that the panels are in a record low point now. And the rest of components. I would say only the substation and interconnection is higher, and we are looking at some bottlenecks in the delivery of trafos and substations. Right, that's the main point of concern now. But the rest seems pretty fine. Talking about Valkyria. I think I have already mentioned, and you know, we cannot really comment much about the deal because we are quite restricted, but we can say that it remains on track. The calendar remains unchanged, and we expect an announcement at the end of June, July, and we still remain in the same. We are not talking. You know, there are several. There are different assets included in this project, and the range is fine. I mean, in some of the assets, we even might expect slightly higher than 1.1, and in some other, it will be close to the low range. Keep in mind that at least is 75% contracted, so we are not, our valuation sensitivity is not that driven by merchant prices like other deals. Yeah, so this is where we're in Valkyria. The moment we have some news, we will make it public, and I think we will even organize a call to explain you the details of the outcome of the deal.
Thank you very much, Jorge. Our next question comes from Anis Skaya from ODDO. Anis, please go ahead. Okay, we will come back to Anis in a couple of minutes. Next question comes from Daniel Rodriguez from Bestinver. Daniel, please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Well, I actually have two questions, but I'll try to keep only to one. The first question is, as you give a lot of information on the evolution of the backlog, I have realized that the backlog is evolving negatively over the last few quarters. I mean, backlog was around 750 megawatts in September 22, and now we are around 230. So is this something we should be worried about? I mean, because at the end, the backlog is feeding the assets that you are going to put in construction over the next 12 months. So I don't know if you are expecting a big step up of backlog in the near future, something. And just if I may, I would like a quick update on the situation of the Chilean market and prices. I know that you are not directly affected, but as you are a very good expert, it's always helpful to have your insights on the market, if I may. Many thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. About your first question, it's we like to explain you the evolution of our pipeline with this inverted pyramid. Yeah, I know really the size of our pipeline is not really pricey in companies like us now, but for us it's extremely important, right? Because it gives you an idea of where we are planning to be a few years from now. So, well, there has been a very important increase in early stage opportunities, more than 2 gigawatts, right? Just in one quarter. This basically means that the 2 gigawatts that were previously identified opportunities, we are already investing money in development. We only invest money in development if we believe that one project will one day will get built. So it's really good news. It's giving a lot of visibility from 2026, 2027. And this very sharp increase is mainly coming from the new markets, like the US and Italy, Poland. And very soon, I think next update, we will start giving light on our first projects in Germany, right? So that's where we are. Going to your question, you know, it's a very dynamic industry. So projects move, they go down. So having a low figure of backlog, well, on one side is good news because many of the projects that were there before moved to under construction, right? And I think we are very transparent. I go back to these slides, or you know, the main change is being driven by the start of construction works in Taberna, Joran José Cabrera, all the projects that we are selling the energy to Amazon and are part of Valkyria. And this is the situation now, but in the next update, we are very optimistic that, well, on one side, Clara Campo Amor project, and I think we might get good news with environmental permits as early as next week or in 2 weeks maximum from now, because the deadline is 31st of May and everything seems positive so far. So we might, and part of this project has been contracted with Leon del Basel. So the moment we get the environmental permits, I think we will move this project to backlog. So it will be a big change. And also we are in very advanced negotiations with some projects that are nearly ready to build in the north of Chile, mainly Quillagua, the second phase of Quillagua, and Gabriela. So there's a very high possibility that these two projects move very soon to backlog. So altogether, we are talking about maybe in the next update, 800 or 900 megawatts more in backlog, apart from PMGDs and everything. So it's a very dynamic picture, and but we always show the situation as it is. But I think we've no concerns really on this low level of backlog, which is definitely very temporary now. About your second question about Chile, well, we're very happy to get questions about Chile because we, you know, it's really our core market. I think we can now say that, well, no other company has connected more plants in the market. I think more than 70 so far. I think at the end of next year, we will be the company that has connected more megawatts, not just more projects, right? So we're really a player there. And we know the market very well. There's been some, you know, some projects have been struggling with the distribution companies' PPAs. We never believe in those PPAs because, you know, we always believe that it was better to have a plant full merchant than having a plant in the north of Chile where you have to sell your energy at one price, and then you have to buy energy in different nodes in all around the country, and then deliver the energy during 13 hours. So you are exposed. You're exposed to nodal differences, and you are exposed to the profile risk of your plan. So you know everything seems to go fine until prices skyrocket, especially at night. And that's the main reason that several of those projects are now in trouble, right? But we don't have this type of PPAs. We never believe in them. The PPAs we have announced in Chile for Gran Teno, and I think it will be the same type of PPAs that we will be announcing very soon, are very similar to the PPAs we're closing in Spain. So it's pay as produced. So we are taking no profile risk, right? We're selling the energy whenever it gets generated. And also there is no nodal risk because the off-taker is buying the energy at the plant. So whatever the energy is generated, right? So we've got no nodal risk. So we are very confident and this is the way to move forward in Chile. I think there is a fantastic opportunity for storage in Chile. Again, I think we believe this will be the first market where PV in collocation with storage, just with energy trading plus capacity payments without any other incentive, really numbers are working. And this is where we're going to see a boom in the storage in market in utility scale segment and also at the PMGDs. So it will be a very, very interesting market to watch in the next few quarters.
Okay, thank you very much, Daniel. We are going to try again with Anis Zakaria at ODDO. Anis, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Do you hear me?
Yes, very clearly, Anis. How are you?
Yes, yeah. Thank you for taking my question. I'm sorry for I had a technical.
No worries.
So my main question on Valkyria have been asked. So I have one further question, one remaining question on the permitting process, and some actors are speaking about acceleration and the granting of permits in Spain. Are you confirming this trend, especially for your large project in Spain, Clara Campoamor?
Thank you. Yes, my previous question, I commented on Clara Campoamor. Well, it's true that it's been, we've been struggling with permitting for many years in Spain, but you know, that's the good news is that we only lost 15 megawatts in Tabernas project that originally was 300. All the other projects of this, let's say, generation of projects, large utility scale projects in Spain, the permits have been obtained. Clara Campoamor had a different deadline. So it's really two projects. They're evacuating in the same substations, but in the same in Tres Cantos in Madrid, right? But there are two projects. One project is 300 megawatts. The deadline is 31st of May. I think so far all reports are showing that we will get good news, and well, maybe if we lose, it might be 25, 30 megawatts maximum. So we might get the environmental permits of these first 300. And then there's a second batch of 275. I think the deadline is September. And I think we are also quite positive. So, and that's it in Spain for, let's call this generation of large utility scale plants. So it's fine. It doesn't mean that we don't keep struggling in many other markets with permitting. I think Italy is quite promising. We have the first project. We will move them to backlog, I think, quite soon. We are now talking with different off-takers, and Amazon is a possibility again. And in Italy, it really depends on every region. Some regions are going better. But I don't think it's the hot topic now. I think things are getting slightly better, I have to say, in permitting in general, right? You always want everything to get done faster, but I think in general it's the situation is better. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anis. Our next question comes from Paul Chabran at Kempen. Please, Paul, go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good morning. I just have a question on the comments that you made on returns. So you mentioned that you have stable IRR at double digits, which is very reassuring. But the question is, stable as compared to when? Is it compared to last year or before the CapEx inflation started in 2020 and 2021? I think more importantly, over the same period, how has your WACC changed? I would assume that your WACC has increased, and that mechanically there is a decrease of the value creation, so of the spread between IR and WAC. So yeah, it would be great if you could help me reconcile these numbers. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for the question, which is quite relevant. I think it's obviously our WAC expectation is higher in every market due to the new environment of interest rates, and I think this has penalized our industry as a whole. but I think we have, it has been offtake, you know, it's been offset by higher the possibility of securing PPAs as a higher price, as I mentioned, right? So you know, we were not in double digit project IRRs only 2 years ago in a country like Spain. But if you are selling now your energy at, let's say, 45 euros per one standard PPA at 45, and you have a yield of 2,000 hours, means that you're generating like 90,000 euros per megawatt. And this is turnover, but an EBITDA of maybe 75. And the CapEx is below 650 all included. So this is how we are getting, it's no secret, the double digit IRR right now. And this is offsetting the higher expectation that we both we have. And if you are rotating the asset in a build to sell asset, the bidder has. So it's really a combination of higher energy prices, lower CapEx, but higher return expectations. But we are offsetting, and I think we're doing pretty well. And I think it's not that different in Chile. The situation is simple because we are making very consistent returns, and we are securing in this case PPAs indexed to inflation. So we are closing the PPAs at very reasonable prices, and we are offsetting the higher expectation of returns.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, but if I can just follow sure. on that. So is it fair to say that the value creation for new projects, essentially really the spread between IRR and WACC, remains unchanged despite the fact that WACC has increased? Is it fair to put it that way?
Yeah, I would say that in some cases, if you look at a good example of this, it's the you know, we just rotate assets in Chile. I think, to be honest, at one point we said, okay, let's. I think we're not gonna keep this making these margins of close to $500,000 US per megawatt, right? And we are creating a lot of value. Why is that? If the expectation of the buyer has increased the return expectations maybe by by 200 basic points. But this is because the prices have increased, and this is why we are keeping very high prices for these type of assets, like 1.3 million. So we are still creating a lot of value, and in some cases with a lower price, you have a lower price of CapEx. I'm talking now about Valkyria or projects or deals that we are securing now. And you are creating similar, if not better, value creation per megawatt because you're securing the PPA at a higher price, and this is offsetting the return expectation. But definitely something we have to keep an eye on this, right? And the more important, the great news now is securing the PPA, right, or securing the offset agreement, because merchant is, I think, it's a very different story right now.
Okay, many thanks, Paul. We do not have further questions at this stage. I don't know if anyone want to ask a last question.
I think we are over okay. the time, so.
Perfect. So if there is no further question, we will just want to thank you for your attendance to this conference call. And please do not hesitate to come back to us, to the IR team, if you want to have further details. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you.